President Trump and Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden faced off last night in their second and final debate of the campaign. They shared the stage in Nashville with a mute button operated by the Commission on Presidential Debates. It turned off each candidate's mic for the first 2 minutes of his opponent's speaking time at the start of each topic. We have morning after analysis with room for your takeaways minus the mute here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. So COVID, race, climate change, national security, what topics and moments resonated with you? We're at 800-642-1234. Linda Green is a professor of law at UW-Madison with expertise in civil rights, constitutional law, and the confirmation of federal judges, among other areas. Linda, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
So what are your top line takeaways from last night?
Well, the first debate, as you know, was a bit of a fight, a melee. The second debate...
A bit? You're so polite.
But the third debate was, a great opportunity to hear both candidates. There was no name calling. We had an opportunity for the candidates to give the 5% undecided, the 5% undecided voters a chance to decide whom to trust for the next 4 years. So I thought it was a good opportunity to hear the candidates. What were the top topics? Of course, they ranged far and wide, but I think what I heard most was about President Trump's performance as to the pandemic and Biden's plans. Also, health care seemed to be a really important topic in the debate. The Affordable Care Act, what happens if the court strikes it down. And so I thought we had a chance to really hear the candidates. Often, President Trump talks in half sentences and just a lot of phrases. But because of the format, he actually spoke in complete sentences, or relatively complete sentences, and I think people had a chance to hear his views. And at the same time, we also had a chance to hear Vice President Biden. Vice President Biden does not always speak, as one reporter said, as crisply as he might. But I thought that not only did Vice President Biden have a chance to speak in great paragraphs, he also had a chance to tell us his vision for the presidency should the people decide to elect him.
So overall, more coherent than the first debate, for sure. On the issue of COVID-19, the president says we're learning to live with coronavirus, but Vice President Biden said, quote, people are learning to die with it. President Trump said there would be a vaccine within a matter of weeks and the U.S. must be open back up soon.
99.9% of young people recover. 99% of people recover. We have to recover. We can't close up our nation. We have to open our school, and we can't close up our nation, or you're not going to have a nation.
Biden responded with the president still does not have a plan, Biden said, to stop the spread of the virus.
Fact is that when we knew it was coming, when it hit, what happened? What did the president say? He said, don't worry, it's going to go away. Be gone by Easter. Don't worry, the warm weather. Don't worry, maybe inject bleach. He said he was kidding when he said that, but a lot of people thought it was serious.
So how did the candidates' strategies for moving forward in addressing the pandemic, how did they contrast?
Well, a great contrast. Again, President Trump said that we're rounding the corner. It's going away. We're going to learn to live with it. We're going to have a vaccine, and he did insert 2 weeks. And Biden responded, today we have 223,000 deaths, and Biden said that 200,000 more people may die. I checked the facts there, and there are a number of experts who do say that our pandemic death toll might be as high as 335,000 by the end of the year. And so they were totally have a completely different viewpoint. And maybe it makes sense. Maybe President Trump wants those undecided voters to be confident that this is going to go away. I think Vice President Biden wants the voters to know that the federal government must be much more aggressive if we are to survive this pandemic.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Linda Green, who is a professor of law at UW-Madison. She's providing her analysis of last night's presidential debate in Nashville and taking your insights. Did you watch the debate? Who do you think did a better job? What statements or messages from the debate stood out to you? And were there issues you wanted addressed that didn't come up? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's move on, Linda, to health care. Biden dubbed his plan for the Affordable Care Act Biden Care during last night's debate. And we saw, you know, they both clashed over health care. The president criticized the ACA and the president shared his plans for the Affordable Care Act.
What we'd like to do is terminate it. We have the individual mandate done. I don't know that it's going to work. If we don't win, we will have to run it and we'll have Obamacare, but it'll be better run. But it no longer is Obamacare because without the individual mandate, it's much different. Pre-existing conditions will always stay.
So Biden hammered him for not presenting a plan to replace the ACA. What did you hear on health care?
Well, that last passage seemed extremely incoherent. I'm not sure that I heard what would happen with pre-existing conditions. I saw the two. Healthcare, I thought, was one of the most important parts of this debate. The takeaways, what if the court does strike down the Affordable Care Act? The Supreme Court will hear arguments on the Affordable Care Act on November 10th. Biden was clear. He said that if the court did strike down the Affordable Care Act, he would bring back something called Biden Care. I think that was interesting that he did not call it, of course, Obamacare. And this was an opportunity for Biden to separate himself from President Obama. Essentially, he was saying, I am my own man. I thought that President Trump's attack on Biden was very interesting. President Trump called Biden a socialist. He said Biden wanted to destroy Social Security, to destroy Medicare. I thought that those were good lines. But Vice President Biden had a great comeback. He said, look, I'm not Bernie Sanders. I beat all those people. I'm Joe Biden. I thought the debate, the format of the debate gave both candidates an opportunity to be heard by the American people. And I thought that I thought the format really helped us to contrast their two points of view. I thought Vice President Biden was most clear about his plan for health care. I did not take away anything coherent from President Trump's statement, but perhaps your listeners did.
I want to move on here to the Supreme Court and your insights there. The Senate Judiciary Committee, powered past Democratic boycotts yesterday to advance Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination to the full Senate. And it keeps President Trump's pick on track for confirmation before Election Day. What might the future hold here for the court? And what do you see in this confirmation process?
Well, I always say that Supreme Court confirmation processes are all about politics and about power politics. President Trump has had the opportunity to put two justices on the court, and with a third to replace Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, he solidifies the control of the court in the hands of a more conservative majority. We have to see what happens with the Affordable Care Act. It's only one of a number of issues that the court will have a chance to consider. The Affordable Care Act, there is an issue as to whether the Affordable Care Act, with the elimination of the individual mandate, whether the Affordable Care Act as a whole can stand. And you're going to hear this word severability. That simply means that if one part of a law is bad, does that mean that the court must toss the entire law? And President Trump emphasizes that it's just a small issue, but actually it could be the issue that causes a majority of the court to say that the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional. So that's one important issue.
So you see the ACA case as like a leading indicator, if you will, for what this court would be like?
Well, this can be viewed as a very technical issue of what we call statutory interpretation. So I don't see it as a clear bellwether for how the court will rule on future issues. But I do think that the issue, underlying issue in this case, is very important to the American people, and the consequences of the case, I think, will be great. I don't think that it itself tells us how the court will rule on future cases, but it's an interesting technical issue of such great that has great consequence in this particular Affordable Care Act context.
And on the notion of power, Senator Lindsey Graham yesterday said this is a groundbreaking, historic moment, and we did it. We're talking with UW School of Law professor Linda Green, who's with us for Morning After Analysis on the second and final debate of the presidential campaign. Did you watch last night's presidential debate? Who came out on top? What moments stood out? Were there issues you wanted addressed that the moderator, NBC's Kristen Welker, didn't bring up? And by the way, how did the moderator do? Join in with your takeaways, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Linda Green here on the Ideas Network. We're getting Morning After Analysis on last night's second and final presidential debate. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. President Trump and Biden were separated on stage by a plexiglass barrier. The mute button was another change by the Nonpartisan Debate Commission to help restore order following that raucous opening debate last month. What did you take away of the new mute button setup? Did you find a more traditional debate approach last night? Were you fact-checking on the fly? Where did you hear the candidates exploit the truth? Where were they right on the money? Join in, 800-642-1234. We have UW Law School Professor Linda Green, who is our guide. Linda, let's look at their approaches to immigration with the backdrop that, you know, the parents of hundreds of children separated at the border still haven't been found. What did you hear from them in terms of substance on immigration last night?
Not a lot. I thought that the discussion of the children separated from their parents was an opportunity for President Biden to talk about a more sensitive approach to control. Vice President Biden did admit that, of course, President Obama did support detention, but they detained families with their children. And so we did have a chance to see the different policy. And 545 children remain separated from their parents. And as of the latest news, the Trump administration does not know where those parents are. So I thought that was a family moment. I'm not sure that there was a clear immigration policy proposed, a new immigration policy proposed by Vice President Biden, but I thought he did say he would be sensitive to the needs of children and families. That was my takeaway.
Let's hear a moment from that point.
I'll be President of the United States, not Vice President of the United States. And the fact is, I've made it very clear. Within 100 days, I'm going to send to the United States Congress a pathway to citizenship for over 11 million undocumented people.
Okay, so it sounds like he's separating himself from Obama policy there.
I don't know if, well, that's difficult to say. I don't know if you can say that President Obama did not want to have a pathway to citizenship. Again, this is only going to be possible if, in fact, the Democrats are in control of the Senate. If Vice President Biden wins the presidency and the Democrats take control of the Senate, then I would expect the president, if he then is President Biden, to send a legislation. I would expect him to do that if, in fact, the Senate is Democratic. I think that would be what we would call dead on arrival if, in fact, the Senate is still controlled by Republicans.
President Trump insisted that aside from Abraham Lincoln, quote, nobody has done more for the black community. I want to talk about their approach to race relations and what you heard there. Moderator Kristen Welker asked both candidates to speak to parents who have to give their children the talk to prepare them for racist encounters. And the candidates went back and forth on what they've done and would do for communities of color. And former Vice President Biden offered his steps for working through racial inequalities.
We have to provide for economic opportunity, better education, better health care, better access to schooling, better access to opportunity to borrow money to start businesses. All the things we can do, and I've laid out a clear plan as to how to do those things, just to give people a shot. It's about accumulating the ability to have wealth as well as it is to be free from violence.
And the president spoke about criminal justice reform and job growth through the Opportunity Zone program.
Nobody has done more for the black community than Donald Trump. And if you look, with the exception of Abraham Lincoln, possible exception, but the exception of Abraham Lincoln, nobody has done what I've done. Criminal justice reform, Obama and Joe didn't do it. I don't even think they tried because they had no chance at doing it.
What did you make there of how they approached race?
Well, Vice President Biden actually outlined what we might call an approach to the elimination of structural racial injustice in the society by looking at all the sectors of activity where minorities have no opportunity. And I thought that was quite comprehensive. As to President Trump's statement that no one has done more for blacks than President Trump, apart from Abraham Lincoln, many have pointed out since he made that statement that he forgot about President Truman, who started the process of desegregating the military. He forgot about President Johnson, who was the president when the country enacted the most important civil rights legislation. Even presidents we don't think of as having made contributions to racial equality, such as President Nixon. President Nixon supported increased opportunities for minority contractors. I will not say what I might say to myself. President Trump has a very complicated relationship with the truth.
We're talking with Linda Green, who is a professor of law at UW-Madison, our guide to last night's debate, and taking your insights on what you saw and heard last night at 800-642-1234. Linda, what did you make of the changes to the structure this time around, and the incorporating a mute button so the candidates could have that 2 minutes uninterrupted?
I thought that was absolutely necessary, and if we think about the purpose of these debates, the purpose of the debate is not simply to provide political entertainment. The purpose of the debate, we hope, is to allow those undecided voters an opportunity to hear the candidates, to contrast their positions on important, vital issues. And the format absolutely permitted us to listen. For the people who are undecided, they had a chance to compare the candidates on a number of issues. For those of us who have already voted or who have decided, we had a chance to confirm the choice that we've already made. I thought that it was a great format. although we would love to have seen the kind of a spirited but respectful back and forth between the candidates that might have been perhaps even more informative, we realized that with these two candidates, that did not work. And so I'm happy that the debate commission managed to give us one last debate where we were able to hear from both candidates. I think that is really what the debate format is all about. I thought it was great, and I thought the moderator had a better chance to do her job than did Chris Wallace in that first debate.
To the point of, you know, having already voted, almost 50 million voters have already cast their ballots in this election. So is a debate like this even moving the needle at all?
Well, yes, there are a number of states. There are a number of states that are very, very close in polling, a number of states, very close polling between Vice President Biden and President Trump, what we say in politics, within the margin of error. And so some of these states, the polling shows that the voters may vote, a majority may vote for President Trump, or a majority may vote for President Biden. So even though Vice President Biden is leading in many states, other states are too close to call. So there is something of value, even though 5% are undecided, many, many more people than ever before have voted early. There still are states in play, to use the political term. And so I think the debate is useful. I think it's also useful in its own right as an opportunity to focus the nation on the issues we face as Americans and on the issues that we need to confront in a very proactive way if we are to continue to grow as a nation.
Linda, thank you for joining us.
Oh, so sorry. Okay, great. Thank you so much. There's so much to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda Green, professor of law at UW-Madison. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.